In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. This week I was walking past the church here, and I saw a couple, both on bikes, and I recognised the gentleman anyway, and he said to me, "Do you remember who I am?" And I struggled. And then he told me his name. And he reminded me, by the way, he looked very smart. He was now in a sound mind. I'll tell you why I say that later. And he seemed full of joy in life. He said, because about 5 years ago, I was a rough sleeper. And you allowed me to stay in the boiler room. Just up the road on the left-hand side, the blue door, we unlocked it. We gave him some food. We allowed him to stay there for part of the winter. A couple of times the police arrived and tried to arrest him because they thought he was breaking in. And he said, "Father, I'd like to thank you for the care that you showed me through that very difficult period." And Damien is his name. Damien said to me, "You know, I'd love to be baptized." And his partner, Julia, said to me, "I'd love to be baptized." I tell you that story because it reminds me that Christianity works and it changes lives. I was talking yesterday to somebody who had a significant, very significant role. I would really value if folks can turn off their phones. Very significant role in Harrow Council. He said, "We had a very significant problem with rough sleeping in the borough. So we approached two organisations to help them. One organisation was called Firm Foundation. Do you know about Firm Foundation? They've had them here. Second organisation was Street Pastors, Harrow Street Pastors. Heard of them? We've had them here." He said, "Through their involvement and their engagement in the community, we're able to resolve a significant problem." Why? Because these organizations are Christian organizations, and Christianity works. Firm Foundation and Street Pastors. Now, I want to say this to you, and I'm not going to go on too long today because of the heat. We live in a world of a place now these days where we can hardly trust anything. And we say to ourselves, is this true? I was having a conversation recently with somebody and they were telling me things about Donald Trump. And I thought to myself, where did you get this information from? And can I trust it to be true? I really did, the information that was coming my way. The things that we read in our newspapers, the things that come to us over the web, the things that come to us through social media, we think to ourselves, well, what can we trust these days? Is there anything we can trust out there to be true? Where do we get our information from? Well, let me tell you what the starting point is. I want to know, are you true? Is Lyndon true? Is what you see what you really get? Are you true both to God and to yourself? Is there a real integrity about your life, or actually are you really living a life actually that is untrue and you pretend constantly? A friend of mine went to a church and he said, "I had a real problem with the church because he struggled with the people that were there. They were very professional people. A lot of money was coming into the church, highly accomplished folk." And he said that what I felt there was an image that they felt they had to maintain, and he didn't trust it because he wasn't sure whether they were being true, real. He went to another church and it was much poorer. And it was the sort of church where you might call people called a spade a spade. Have you come across that term, particularly from the north of England? He said the people in that church, poorer, much more open about their lives, much more transparent about what was going on in their world. They were, he felt, much able to really interpret and tell the truth about who they really were. And he could trust it. So for us today, are we true? And the reason I say that is because if we are professing Christians, it's so important that we stand up and we speak to what we believe and we don't pretend. That our Christianity is an integrity about it, that it can be trusted. It's not something we just sort of put on, but it's real. So we have a real prayer life. We believe that our reading of the scriptures will enhance our life. That our behaviours and towards each other are constantly checked because we want to be an example to others of how Jesus was. In other words, we're true to our faith and we're true to ourselves. We do not pretend. We want to be real. Otherwise, we just become part of the world's problem where nothing can be trusted these days. So the place to start is you and me. Is what you get here real? Or is it an act? Am I in private what I am also in public? Do I really stand up and profess and believe the Christian faith? It says in our reading, stand in it. Stand in it. Hold fast to it. Because the world needs Christianity that is true. Because when it does, it changes life like Damien's. I want to be baptized. And it solves a problem of rough sleepers in Harrow because Christians get involved, like Firm Foundation and Harrow Street Pastors. It makes a difference. So a question for us all, are you making a difference? So today I've given out this little handout. I'd like you to take it and read it. It's called A Christian Discipleship Audit. And some of these questions are very challenging. You see, if you're a real Christian, there should be a battle going on in your life. Because constantly, daily, you want to choose what is right and what's good and you want to follow after Christ. If there's no real battle going on in your life and you're not aware that actually there is a battle, then you need to ask yourself, well, you know, really, am I living up to what I've been called to? So, just look at it quickly. My relationship with God. Am I spending consistent quality time in prayer and in scripture? Do I hunger for God's presence or feel distant? Obedience to God's word. Am I living out Jesus' teaching, even the difficult ones? Are there areas of known disobedience in my life? Love for others. Am I loving others sacrificially, including those who are hard to love? There are lots of people who are very hard to love in church. Am I holding on to unforgiveness or bitterness? By the way, you cannot grow in your Christian journey if you are unforgiving. It's not possible. People say, I will never forgive them. You cannot say that as a Christian. You cannot say the Lord's Prayer if you live in unforgiveness. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Humility and repentance, do I confess sin quickly or justify it? Witness and mission. Have I shared my faith recently? Do I pray for the lost by name? Are there people in your family that do not know Christ? And are you praying for them on a regular basis? Does my life point others to Jesus? We go on. Fruits of the Spirit. Which fruit is growing in me? What is lacking? We've got a list on the same document. How is the Spirit shaping my character? And I am resisting or cooperating with his work. There's one under commitment to the church, which is really powerful. Am I meaningfully involved in my local church? Am I serving with my spiritual gifts? Do I have spiritual mentors or accountability? People who come alongside you and say to you, how are you doing in your Christian journey? Are you demonstrating the fruits of the Spirit? A friend of mine said to me recently, he's a pastor, he said, you know, I wish all the time I was in Christian ministry, I would have sat down with members of my congregation for half an hour and said to them, how are you doing your Christian journey? How is your prayer life? How is your witness? Are you making a difference in the world? How are you growing in the fruits of the Spirit? He wished he'd asked that, and he never did, because he felt that if he'd done that, had regular checks with his members of his congregation and mutually together grow in faith, it would have made all the difference. You see, Sunday, what we do here has got to connect with Monday. Now, I'm going to ask Io to come out. Come on, Io. Io, as you know, is the son of Kemi. And Io went to a very good school. He went to a very good university and he got a very good degree. And he was on a whole career path in engineering, a very lucrative career path. But suddenly he decided to actually make a change of career. Why did you make that change of career, Ion?
Morning, everyone. Yeah, I decided to make a career change for a few reasons. So one was I was honestly bored at my last job, but that's not obviously the main reason why I'm up here today. The main reason was because of, as you said, Sunday connecting with Monday. So just to give you a bit of background, the company I work for now is called Problem Shared. It's an online mental...
Problem Shared,
yeah. It's an online mental health company. So what we do is we help people who are neurodivergent and also people who just generally need kind of therapy. And why the job appealed to me a lot was because it was kind of a new challenge. It was a way to feel like you're helping people and be a part of like something that's greater than yourself. So obviously, like, we all do things at work. Some jobs are like kind of direct ministries, like working in a hospital, for example. So this is something where I thought I can, in my own way, be part of something that's like greater and helping people. So yeah, as I said, Problem Shared is the company I work for. It's a online mental health platform, so everything's online, which is quite convenient for a lot of people who don't manage to kind of get access to care. Obviously, mental health is a kind of a growing known thing, and I think we're doing a good job of like fighting the stigma of mental health, but there's still quite a lot of a way to go, and it's still a journey. Just to give you a brief kind of overview of what neurodivergence is, if you're unfamiliar with the term. So it's a term that describes how people think, learn, and process the world differently. It includes conditions like ADHD, autism, dyslexia, dyspraxia, those kind of conditions. So what my company does is we help people with those conditions, like understand what their conditions are, how they can kind of learn about themselves, what they need to do to kind of cope with everyday life. We deal with a lot of children, so like ADHD, autism, and kids as well is quite prevalent. And then we also like work with university partners for like students who are suffering from like mental health issues, like they have anxiety, they have fear, they have depression, those kind of things, even suicide in the extreme cases, but we don't deal with them directly, but we like refer them on to the correct people where they can get the right help.
And just to say, Kate, this decision was very much informed by your Christian faith.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so Sunday connects with Monday.
Yeah.
And you see it as part of your Christian discipleship to serve and bless and look after and give counsel to others.
Yeah, exactly.
Great, wonderful. So this is interesting. So here is somebody with an engineering degree, could earn a huge amount of money, a very lucrative career, gone to a very good university, and yet decides to do something completely different because he's a Christian, because he wants to serve and bless others. And what's the organisation called again?
Problem Shared.
So this is a national organisation. It's used by the NHS.
Yeah, so we work with the NHS.
And its services are growing all the time because of the huge needs that's out there.
Yeah, exactly. And as Christians, obviously, we're told to love our neighbour as ourselves. So, like, part of the company's kind of mission is, like, breaking down the barriers and stigma of mental health and, like, the inclusivity of kind of accepting everyone and, like, whatever your differences are doesn't make you any better or less of a person. It's just that you're different.
Great. Well, thank you. Big hand for him. Well done. Fantastic. I've taken longer than I thought. Listen, I would like you to look at this audit of Christian discipleship. I want you to be true to what we believe. In a world where there is so much fake, all sorts of things, we want to step up to the calling that's on our life, all of us, hopefully. We want to be people of integrity, and what we believe and we say is real, and it can be tested. And what we do here on Sunday connects with Monday. And today we pray for all those who will be ordained to Christian ministry in the cathedrals across this land. Amen.
Let us pray. As I was coming to church today, the sun shining, and everything looks so green, at the moment anyway. And green is the liturgical colour for Trinity, and we are in ordinary time in the church's year. And I always find this a bit odd. Ordinary Sundays for ordinary Christians? But to try to live out the teaching of Jesus is really extraordinary to me. As it must have been really extraordinary for the disciples when the Holy Spirit was poured upon them. So when I say, "Loving Father, will you please reply, let your Spirit live in us now." Trinity is a time for reflection and growth, to encourage and deepen our relationship with God, and to live out our faith in our daily lives. Loving Father, let your spirit live in us now. Creator God, you've given us such a wonderful world. We are so fortunate you have given us so much. Yet we continue to pollute our world. We are destroying our planet. We just don't seem to be able to help ourselves. Why are some people so horrible to each other? And we look at all those harrowing pictures of all those people whose lives have been affected by war, famine, and hatred. Lord, look on your mercy upon our broken world and speak to all people that they may hear your message of peace. Loving Father, let your spirit live in us now. Dear Lord, we thank you that we can worship freely without fear or intimidation. We pray for all those Christians around the world facing persecution for their faith. We thank you, Lord, that as women we can walk and talk freely, go about outside, work, and be educated. We pray for all the areas in the world where this is not so. Loving Father, let your Spirit live in us now. We pray for our King and the royal family, and we pray for everyone in government. Grant them wisdom so that their judgments may always benefit those that they represent. We pray for all those being ordained today and yesterday that they may have a fruitful ministry. We pray for our church and local community, especially for Lyndon and Barbara for their ministry here, and for David Elaine as lay preacher. We pray for our families and friends with all their hopes, fears, problems, and needs. Loving Father, let your Spirit live in us now. Dear Lord, help us to be truly grateful for the work of the doctors and nurses and for all those who care for us. We pray for healing for Earl Adams, David Elaine, Elizabeth Bellow, Chanel Borty, Malcolm George, Pam Story, Martin Volf, and Angela Zadurian. Loving Father, let your spirit live in us now. Dear Lord, you never pretended that following you would be easy. You yourself lit with trouble and suffering. Bless and comfort all those we remember now. We may not know what lies in the future, but we know that you are always here beside us as we strive to walk in your footsteps. Comfort those who mourn the loss of a loved one and fill the emptiness with your presence. We remember with thanksgiving the anniversaries of Edmund Watkins, Bob French, and Gwen Judge. Loving Father, let your Spirit live in us now. Father God, we thank you for welcoming us into your circle of love. May we share your love with everyone in our community today and every day. May we be like Peter and Paul and spread your glorious word. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen.